The Generic Live Show is up next. Welcome to your Generic Live Show. This is the Generic Live Show with Dale Campbell. Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday. Thanks to everyone for joining us here on the show, whether you're listening to us live or on your hard drive. Quickly want to mention, I do apologize if my voice does sound a little bit strange and distorted. I don't know what. I hit a brick wall. I started coming down with a fever on Friday, I believe. I spent most of the day yesterday resting as well. And I do apologize if I start sniffling or I have to cut away to sneeze or to cough or to blow my nose, etc., etc., etc. You get the general idea. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. We will push through. We will deliver a two-hour show of me sounding like this. Oh, yeah. Naturally, we won't do that. Big show for all of y'all today. Want to bring you up to speed on, of course, what is some tragic events that has happened over the last couple of days. As it would seem, it's been a long week if you've been following the news in media circle. Today has seemed like a huge day for particularly Australian politics, as Bill Shorten has conceded, he has admitted defeat, as Malcolm Turnbull is likely to win the election. Voting has still not been seats have just started to be declared, and we'll get those tallies to you first. I want to bring you some speaking both the leaders of the both major parties have brought forward to you. And then we'll bring you, we've got something from Dan McCarthy, as he's made a statement, official video statement on Facebook. Want to bring that to you as well. And also I don't know if I mentioned this last week, but Sharon Howes, the Labour candidate for Leichhardt, has conceded as well as admitted defeat in their allowing Mr. Warren Ensch to retain as holding the seat of Leichhardt. I was going to say holding the representative of Leichhardt. Want to bring you this is what just parts of the Bill Shorten press conference sounded like earlier this afternoon.
But whilst counting has not concluded in a number of very close seats, it is clear that Mr. Turnbull and his coalition will form a government.
Nope. My apologies. Hang on. We're just working back on getting the audio back. I closed the tab. Hold the phone. Station standing by. Smooth sailing on your GLS. Where were we up to?
Years. It was a long 8 days since the election. But whilst counting has not concluded in a number of very close seats, it is clear that Mr. Turnbull and his coalition will form a government. Whether or not it's a minority government or a majority government of one or two seats, it is clear they will form a government. So I have spoken to Mr. Turnbull early this afternoon to congratulate him and Lucy and to wish them my very best. One thing which unites Mr. Turnbull and I is our love of Australia and our huge respect for our democracy.
That is Bill Shorten earlier this afternoon holding a press conference in Melbourne. Want to bring you the other side here. Here is Mr. Turnbull's reaction to Mr. Shorten's conceding Mr. Shorten conceding, of course, admitting defeat, and saying that the coalition will form a government, whether it is a minority or majority. They will be forming a government. Here is Mr. Turnbull and his response.
Earlier today, Bill Shorten called me and congratulated me on being re-elected as Prime Minister. And I thank Bill for that call. He congratulated me and Lucy, and I thanked him and Chloe for making that call. And I have to say, on a family note, when Bill called me, I had our little granddaughter Isla on my left hip. So she was a one-year-old witness to history. When I was having that discussion with Mr. Shorten.
That is Mr. Turnbull's reaction to that. Now, that of course is a kind of interesting tale there that he says. But I want to mention something before we continue with our coverage. We've got a lot to cover today, so I'll make this brief. I want to mention that's the state of our democracy, when the two leaders that have spent 8 weeks railing against each other and then spent 8 days in limbo. By the way, yeah, nothing had changed before today. So if Mr. Turnbull hadn't made that call earlier this evening, nothing. We would still be in limbo, as many of the seats have not been declared yet. Let's get to that. The latest results as of 8:41 this evening, Australian Eastern Standard Time on Sunday. One of the 150 House of Representatives seats have been officially declared. Now, is there any way to see what that seat is? That is the seat of Malee, M-A-L-E-E. It is claimed by, let's have a look, leading party is the second column, held by the Nationals. And it is a 71%. So that is, and it has been officially declared as of the late 9th of January, early 10th of January, 2016. That is the seat of Malee, is the only seat that has been officially declared. The Liberal Coalition are leading in 4 seats and have 2 close seats. The Australian Labor Party are leading in 66 seats and have 3 close seats leading towards them. The Greens have 1 seat. The Katter team has 1 seat. The Nick Svenian team has 1 seat. And Independents have 2 seats leading. There are no seats left to determine where they're going to be swinging. There are still, though, 5 seats that are fairly close seats. The division of Cowan in Western Australia. Excuse me for 2 seconds. I'm back. Excuse me for that. What was I saying? The division of Cowan in Western Australia is close. Hindmarsh in South Australia. Herbert in Queensland, and the Capricornia in Queensland, and Flynn in Queensland are all currently close, but still have been determined. They're the latest totals, and of course, we'll keep that in mind while we go on here. I want to bring you some more things that Mr. Shorten did mention, some other things in his press conference, and we'll play that for you before we move on. Here is Mr. Shorten, about 1:20 this afternoon.
I want to put something on the table today. Today's about Labor recognising that we can't form a government. But in a non-partisan spirit, I will be writing to Mr. Turnbull and saying, really, we're a grown-up democracy. It shouldn't be taking 8 days to find out who's won and who's lost. I actually think it's long overdue to look at electronic voting in this country. I think that we should, in a bipartisan fashion, set the groundwork for electronic voting. We can't afford to have our nation drift for 8 days after an election. Australians participate in the process. I take nothing away from the professionalism of the Australian Electoral Commission. But it's the 21st century. We're a leading democracy. I think we should be able to find out who won and who lost in a quicker time than we've seen.
I've been an advocate of electronic voting for a long time. And I would commend you to the work of the New South Wales Electoral Commission, which has been more enthusiastic, I think, than its federal counterpart. Yes, this is something we must look at, and absolutely. So you can. That's been a passion of mine, or an interest of mine, for a long time.
Mr. Turnbull and Mr. Shorten there, thinking about introducing electronic voting. Now, the concept of electronic voting, and we do have to move on, so I will be brief. The concept of electronic voting is interesting because you've got to think, Australia is a fairly rural place. We have a lot, we only have a couple of the major cities that we do have are coastally based. We have to consider inland votes as well, particularly those from far and wide in rural communities, particularly where we are in the seat of Leichhardt. We've got the Cape York Peninsula. Well, we haven't got the peninsula, but we've still got parts of Cape and parts of PNG and Thursday Island to consider in as well. So there's lots to do. We'll continue. We'll bring you some more stuff from the election next hour. But speaking of politics, want to bring you something that if you know about it already. If you have been following anything to do with the news this week, Hillary Clinton and her email scandal. Now, I have a lot of opinion on this, and we will also be breaking this up over the 2 hour period that we have, because there's just so much to cover. And this show, we'll probably be splitting this up. And I want to attack this from a different angle. A lot of people just say the facts, and we will be saying the facts. Don't worry about this. We've got video, we've got audio as well. But I want to bring you something. Many people like it when I argue with other people while arguing with myself at the same time. So Hillary Clinton, if you don't know, FBI Director James Comey, was before Congress on Thursday over Mrs. Clinton's email scandal. Mr. Comey said that there will be no recommendation for her indictment. More so in my words, and this is why we're playing so much audio on today's show. Here is Mr. Comey, the FBI director, on the email scandal itself on Tuesday when he made the public announcement. We got the highlights. There's about two minutes worth here. If we can have an ad that won't play on the air. Thank you. Clock that stood still. Whoa, is that person? Yeah, okay. Here is that noise from FBI Director James Comey coming right up.
Of Secretary Clinton's use of a personal email system during her time as Secretary of State. Secretary Clinton used several different servers and administrators of those servers during her 4 years at the State Department. And she also used numerous mobile devices to send and to read email on that personal domain. From the group of 30,000 emails returned to the State Department in 2014, 110 emails in 52 email chains have been determined by the owning agency to contain classified information at the time they were sent or received. 8 of those chains contained information that was top secret at the time they were sent. 36 of those chains contained secret information at the time. and 8 contained confidential information at the time. That's the lowest level of classification. Separate from those, about 2,000 additional emails were upclassified to make them confidential. Those emails had not been classified at the time that they were sent or received. I should add here that we found no evidence that any of the additional work-related emails were intentionally deleted in an effort to conceal them in some way. Although we did not find clear evidence that Secretary Clinton or her colleagues intended to violate laws governing the handling of classified information, there is evidence that they were extremely careless in their handling of very sensitive, highly classified information. Although there is evidence of potential violations of the statutes regarding the handling of classified information, our judgment is that no reasonable prosecutor would bring such a case. In looking back at our investigations into the mishandling or removal of classified information, we cannot find a case that would support bringing criminal charges on these facts.
Now, that was a very, very truncated version of James Comey's press conference that ran for about 10 minutes on Tuesday when he delivered that press conference that Hillary Clinton, that the FBI would not be recommending an indictment for Mrs. Clinton. Now, here's the thing about this whole situation. She broke the law. As I have said on this program, I am a person that believes in kind of center left kind of policies. But that's as far as it goes. And if someone does something stupid, I'm going to tell them that they did something stupid. I'm not going to hold back because I'm not going to hail to these people. Now, if they do something stupid, they're going to do something stupid. I'm going to point that out. It's what I do as a commentator, and that's what I do as a person that podcasts. I can't help myself but point out stuff that is stupid. Now, in saying that, the point here is, and we'll have to get to the columnist John Cass that says that Hillary Clinton has disqualified herself from the presidency. No, she hasn't, because this guy has not exonerated her, but more so kind of cleared the path for her to the presidency by saying nothing is wrong here because she didn't intend to break the law. What does that even mean? Like, you said she broke the law. You said she was careless with her handling of classified and top secret and confidential information at the time. As her time as Secretary of State. Not only did he clear Hillary Clinton, but cleared everyone involved. Now, not everyone is cleared from this because this guy let him off the hook. Now, why is another question, and we'll get to that a little bit later on. Why was she let off the hook? To fit a narrative. I still believe that, because if you are going to stand there in front of a nation and say she broke the law, but there has to be something deeper here, and that's what this hearing was about, but nothing came of that. As we continue here on the Drenek Live Show on a Sunday, lots to see and lots to do here on the show. Well, as we continue, a little thing called Pokemon Go has taken over the world. You may or may not have heard about it. If you haven't, well, I seriously cannot help you here. But if you have any questions about it, We'll answer them right here on GLS. We'll do a public service announcement for you. It's 9:20.
Finally found the most generic live show. This is the Generic Live Show with Dale Campbell.
Thanks for joining us here on a Sunday, here on the Generic Live Show. Thanks for joining us here on the show, whether you're listening to us live or on your hard drive. We do appreciate you joining us. I do apologize if my voice does sound a little bit off today. I'm feeling a little bit under the weather. I don't know what it was. I probably came down with a bit of fever on Friday, and it hasn't gone away yet. It just hasn't left. So there you have it. Thanks for joining us. Either way, lots to see and lots to do in today's episode. So please do stick with us over the next 2 hours. Thank you so much for joining us. Now, if you have been living under a rock, you probably have not known about this. Or even if you lived above a rock, you probably didn't know about this. But Pokemon Go, the new Pokemon game, not by Nintendo, but by Niantic. Using the Pokemon trademark, though, in conjunction with the phone folks of Game Freak, creating a kind of augmented reality Pokemon game, you can go around in real life and using your phone, you can pick up, you know, catch Pokemon in the real world. It's available to people in Australia, New Zealand, Japan, and selected areas of North America and Europe. It is being rolled out very, very slowly, so never fear. Pokemon Go will be coming to you soon. We have some some of the most common questions for you in regards to what Pokemon Go is and what you can do. First and foremost, of course, some of the questions include, how do I log into the game? There are two options for logging into Pokemon Go. The easiest method is, of course, using your existing Google account, or you can sign up for a Pokemon Trainer Club account, which comes with added privileges. It includes a subscription to a monthly newsletter and an offer download codes for rare Pokemon. Can I name and customize my trainer is another question. Yes, you can. Nicknames, however, must be only spelled with numbers and letters. And if you have a common name, you might be out of luck. No, there are no duplicates as well on Pokemon Go. Customization is kind of limited to the selection that they have. Skin tones, colors, all the rest of it pre-selected. So you can kind of pre-select it. Do I get a starter Pokemon? Yes, you do, but it's kind of interesting. Once you've made your character, this game is about leading you through the real world with the Pokemon game. Wherever you are, Bulbasaur, Charmander, and Squirtle will appear. Trainers can choose one of the three. At the conclusion of the world's easiest battle, they are now theirs. I've heard, by the way, off script, I've heard that there are you can choose Pikachu in some instances. I've heard that, but I went with Squirtle because hashtag Squirtle, Squirtle Squad. Can you nickname your Pokemon? You absolutely can. How, the big question, how do I get more Pokemon? Well, yeah, there you go. Catching isn't something that is actually explained as much in Pokemon Go as I would have liked. If you miss it once, you've kind of ran out of luck. Battles aren't between two. In the real world, battles aren't particularly between two Pokemon as much as they are between you and the Pokemon in Pokemon Go. So you are the trainer, and the ultimate game of just walking around playing Pokemon Go is you as the the trainer. Battles. Oh, sorry. Go on. When you engage Pokemon Go, the color ring will appear around the opponent. These change the size with each capture attempt. Throwing a Pokeball into a smaller window seems to be more effective based on that. But I haven't had that experience. But people over at Polygon have. You kind of flick your Pokeball in the direction, and you've got to think about distance as well. There's lots of stuff as well that will help you find Pokemon as well. There are incense, lucky eggs, egg incubators, which will help you hatch an egg. And a lure module that you can put on a Pokestop. There are Pokestops as well that will give you items in the game, and there are gyms where you can battle other people. There's where the other people battling other people will come into effect of it as well. So that is Pokemon Go, and there have been, the internet is broken with Pokemon Go memes at the moment, so it is interesting. And I've been playing it too. It's been a rather fun experience for me. As we continue here on the Generic Live Show, well, we are going to be talking about the tragic events, police brutalities that are happening in the US, and some more analysis on Hillary Clinton and her email server fallout are guaranteed. As we continue, it's 9:30.
This is the Generic Live Show with Dale Campbell.
Thanks for joining us here on a Sunday, or here on the Generic Live Show, whether you're listening to us live or on your hard drive. It's glad you could be with us here on a Sunday. Well, it's been a huge week in terms of news and politics. Lots to see and lots to do, of course. We would be remiss if we didn't talk about some of these terrible shootings that occurred. We're going to bring all sides to you, like we like to do here on the Generic Live Show. We want to be as fair as we can to some of these stuff. Want to mention quickly at the top.
I want Governor Mark Dayton too.
Oh, excuse you. Thank you for breaking in there. Want to bring all sides to you as well. We want to be as fair as possible. When I say terrible shootings, I mean from both sides as well, because excuse me. Want to bring it as fair as well. These shootings are tragic from both sides. I mean, and people are saying that the police side of it is terrible. The fact that the police officers got shot terribly. I mean, it's tragic all around these shootings. Want to mention real quick in this segment, if you are easily I don't want to say easily offended, but there might be some audio in this segment that might be a little bit sensitive to listen to. So just a fair heads up there. We will be stop talking about this around 20. I'm going to say 15 minutes time before we have to go from that to commercial break again. So we will be finishing talking about this at around 9:48. If you want to put a timestamp on there, if you want to come back. But we will carry on anyway. There have been a couple of shootings that has taken place. Three tragic events, unfortunately, in the order. Well, sort of the order. I mean, the Dallas police shootings happened after these two. It's a kind of cause and effect, unfortunately. Excuse me. The locations are Dallas, Texas. Of course, everyone's familiar with that. Falcon Heights, Minnesota. Just outside the state capitals, St. Paul in Minnesota. And Baton Rouge in Louisiana. The capital of Louisiana are the three cities in question. I want to bring you this Falcon Heights one as well. On Wednesday evening, a police officer fatally shot a African-American gentleman, Fildro Castro, 32, during a traffic stop in Falcon Heights, Minnesota, a suburb of St. Paul, the state's capital. The aftermath was streamed on by Facebook Live by the girlfriend, Diamond Reynolds, a passenger in the car, and her daughter, the daughter, excuse me, was in the car as well. Since the shooting, there has been plenty of protests in St. Paul, understandably. Demonstrators gathered outside the home of Governor Mark Dayton, who said he was shaken by the video. Quote, would this have happened if the driver were white and if the passenger was white, sorry, I didn't think it would have, he said. Mr. Obama, arriving in Warsaw and for a NATO summit, told a meeting reporters, said, quote, there's a big chunk of our citizenry that feels as if, because the color of their skin, they are not being treated the same, and that hurts, and that should be terrible for us, he said before the demonstration that the killing of the police officers in Dallas. Mr. Castro had notified the police officer in question that he had a gun with him and he was a licensed concealed and carried operator of that weapon. Whether this information played a role in the shooting was not clear. Mr. Castro's girlfriend said that he was trying to retrieve his license and registrations when the officer opened fire. Do we have the audio here of that shoot? We do. We have the audio here from St. Paul. And again, some of this audio may be disturbing to hear for young ears, so discretion is advised. This video is a minute 31. We'll play it in its entirety right here.
He's licensed to carry. He was trying to get out his ID and his wallet out his pocket, and he let the officer know that he had a firearm and he was reaching for his wallet, and the officer just shot him in his arm. Oh my God, please don't tell me he's dead. Please don't tell me my boyfriend just went like that.
On the evening of 7-6-2016
at John Mangseth, interim chief of St. Anthony Police Department, here speaking now.
Approximately 9 p.m., A St. Anthony police officer effected a traffic stop on Larpenteur Avenue at Fry Street in the city of Falcon Heights, Minnesota. During the stop, shots were fired. One adult male was taken to the hospital. We have been informed that this individual is deceased.
And they chanted that over and over and over again. Want to bring audio to you of this Baton Rouge killing as well. This is, again, disturbing for young listeners, but it's important for information and analysis purposes. This video is a minute 18, if you want to mark that one as well. Here is the shooting from Baton Rouge, of Alton Sterling, a 37-year-old black man that was shot by Baton Rouge Police Department on Tuesday.
They shot him.
He was a nice guy. He wasn't out here doing anything bad. He was always just selling movies, minding his own business. It could have been handled much differently. On both sides, it could have been handled differently.
Don't shoot! Hands up! Don't shoot!
What I said to the chief is, he has to have transparency in this matter, because as you can see, this is getting out of hand and people are clearly upset and they want transparency.
That is that. Now, the two police officers involved in that shooting, I want to make a note of this, have been put on unpaid administrative leave, but that is not enough for people, because that is not justice. That is putting them on administrative leave. That is putting them on leave for them to come back and do something again. Trust me, as a person who's been forced to take unpaid leave in their time, not because I've done anything bad or anything like that. But that doesn't fix, that doesn't provide actual solutions. And this is the problem. This, we're running around in circles here. We're not providing solutions. And we're running out of time for analysis here, but we'll be talking about this again next hour, because there's just so much analysis, there's so much to claw into here when it comes to these shootings. But I will say this, and I want to make this particularly clear. Men and women in the force do a lot on a day-to-day basis. They put their lives on the line so we don't have to. Admittedly, I couldn't do it, despite once wanting to be a police officer. Fun fact about Tail, not to make this about me, but I actually did want to be a police officer. And I was talked out of being a police officer, basically for this reason. The reason was that that it was believed that I couldn't handle the distress of it day to day. And they're probably right, you gotta think, but here in Australia it's much more different geographically and socially and economically than when it is over in the States. But I will say that while humans make mistakes, there are procedures in place for a reason. These three officers involved in this case, excuse me, the one in Minnesota and the two in Louisiana, while they clearly didn't follow protocol. And here is wherein lies the problem. Now, people wouldn't be getting upset if they were justified. If these shootings were justified. If say, for example, in Minnesota, if the person was reaching for their firearm in the glove compartment of that vehicle, if that was the case, then the protocol would be to defend yourself and everyone around him at that time. But that wasn't the case. It wasn't reaching for the glove compartment where the weapon was, and where he told that that's where the weapon was. It was, he was reaching in his pocket where his license and registration was. And in that second clip, it was just a miscommunication, because in the 911 call, it was alleged that people were complaining that he was disturbing the peace and he also had a firearm. In that case, that didn't turn out to be true, searching the house and the vehicle of that guy. It just wasn't the case, that wasn't the case, that there was no weapons involved there. I understand that humans make mistakes, but humans don't make these types of mistakes. I make mistakes on a daily basis. No one is perfect. I want to put that out there. No one is perfect. But there has to be something, whether it is from the police department and the government level, or if it's from a citizen level up. These two people, well, you can argue the one in Louisiana was selling DVDs and movies illegally, but you don't shoot someone and kill someone over illegal DVD sales, trust me. Because if everyone out there who was using an illegal ways of getting DVDs were shot, we wouldn't have any populace left on Earth. Back when the boom of LimeWire happened, we wouldn't have a population. Now, understandably, this other side of the argument is that it's a race war. I don't think it's a race war. I believe it's a policy. It's not necessarily a policy thing, but it's an administrative thing. The guidelines aren't clear. When the guidelines aren't clear, they are broken. That's all. We'll continue the analysis of that later on this hour, of course, because we still haven't covered the Dallas shooting and the reactions from people and the ambush of police officers in that. But just wanted to get that little bit of over-analysis in, because it's so important to discuss that out in the open. You might not like my opinions. thechefwonder@gmail.com. Send your hate mail to me. Call me racist, like I have been called before when I was talking about terror attacks. Call me whatever you like. Bring it on. As we continue here on the Generic Live Show, well, our friends down in Victoria from Australian Gold and Collectibles heading on the road. They are wanting to buy your gold, silver, and collectibles for an instant settlement. They're coming to Cairns. They're coming to the Cairns RSL from the 115 to 119, the Esplanade here in Cairns from the 12th of July from 11 to 2. Want to get rid of those unwanted necklaces, earrings, broken rings, or even just get rid of that thing that X gave you that one time that you don't necessarily want. They also want collectibles as well. Note, though, while they buy most items, they will also reject items. They have to be up to a, of course, a specific standard for you to get your money's worth as well. They are fully licensed. Secondhand dealer number 14276. And it is instant settlement. It is hassle-free. So come down to the Cairns RSL 115 to 119, the Esplanade in Cairns on the 12th of July from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. to sell your unwanted gold, silver, and collectibles. Australian Gold and Collectibles, taking the hassle out of getting rid of your unwanted treasure. If you want to find out more information, you can give them a call on 03-9357-9996. That's 03-9357-9996. Or you can give them a call on 0403-024058. As we continue here on the Generic Live Show. Well, we'll continue to bring you the fallout from Hillary Clinton's email server. Of course, that might not be until next hour, because we really, a listener actually sent me a request to cover a topic, and it's not really a topic I'm too familiar with, but New South Wales has a plan to ban ground hound racing. We'll give you all the details as we continue here on the Generic Live Show. Thanks for joining us. It's 9:51. Whatever the time of day, whatever the time of the night, we're here to serve you a big dose of genericness with your host, Dale Campbell. Thanks for joining us here on a Sunday here on the Generic Live Show. Thanks for joining us. So glad you could be with us here on such a busy show. Lots to see and lots to do here on the Generic Live Show. Next hour, we're going to again continue our coverage of some of the tragic shootings that have happened, of course we're going to bring that to you, is what I meant there. Want to bring you, of course, that. Also, we've got not late breaking news, but news that has just popped up on my feed from various websites, but Massachusetts has passed a law that transgender individuals can choose whichever bathroom that they like. Of course, that has just popped up in my feed. Of course, we want to be talking about that as well. Something that a listener sent in to me throughout the week is this greyhound before the break. This greyhound racing that New South Wales Premier Mike Baird wants to put in post. And he's standing by it. Mike Baird said on Saturday, excuse me, quote, "The decision to ban greyhound racing has been obviously generated a lot of discussion and questions, and I've been listening. I've read many of the 10,000 plus Facebook comments and other coverage in the media, and I'd like to take a minute to respond to some questions. I particularly want to address some of the myths around the decision. So here are the top 10 things that aren't true about the shutdown of ground house racing on July 1 next year, 2017. It's been a tough decision, but considered one." So this will clear up a lot of things that were previously reported. So this is good to bring to you, because we hadn't previously reported on it, because it uncovered after we went off the air last week or 2 weeks ago, I think. Anyway, you are punishing many of the crimes of a few. Weird. Unfortunately, Bird continues, "Unfortunately, the report of Special Commission is very clear that these practices were systematic for too long. Too many people knew what was going on and didn't do enough to reform greyhound racing. It is very clear that the industry has had many changes to reform, but has failed to do so. However, as I said in my original Facebook post, I feel very strong empathy for those who are caught up in this, who have not done anything wrong. These changes will have a big impact on some communities. This will bring me no joy whatsoever. Two, this land grab for developers Wentworth Park is going to be sold off. No, it is not. So Wentworth Park is staying. It'll be turned into open space or sports facilities that were formerly exclusively ground hound raising. Three, all these ground hounds are now going to die. What? These actually worse for them. Okay, first of all, who thought that that was true? Second of all, that's ridiculous. The New South Wales government has formed a close alliance with the RSPCA to rehome as many dogs as possible or to put them up for adoption. Four, this is a hastily made decision and there is no consultation. Well, again, that's of course a theory. It's received 200 submissions of public or private or public hearings, according to Mr. Bard. I want to skip through a few of these here. These are the 10 statements that aren't true about the upcoming ban on ground hound racing. Five, the government is hypocritical and will still take money from the people in New South Wales gambling on dog racing in other states. As you can imagine, licenses with TAB in the racing industry are quite complex. But let me make this clear. We do not want to and won't be profiting from poor animal welfare practices. Six, the government just wants to ban everything. Bird says that he is a big advocate for small government that keeps out of your way. This does not mean government stands back and simply allow cruelty on animals. Seven, this is literally the government interjecting into your life. I'm sorry, but this to a core is the government invading into your life. Anyway, we'll better quicken this up here because we are coming up on our break here. The industry was already performing on it and its way to the better future. Apparently not true because there was lots of reform going on before Bird was in public office, apparently. A total shutdown is an overreaction. You could have just said you'd be given it more oversight. There were 79 different recommendations taken to place, Mr. Bird says. If you really cared about puppies, you'd shut down puppy farmers. We had previously announced a review into puppy farmers. Well, there you go. That's that. And 10, the reviews said that this should go to Parliament. Why isn't it? Mr. Bird clarifies that it is. The government will present legislation to shut down ground hound racing next sitting period, and Parliament will intend consider it debate in our proposal. If you want to find out more yourself, you can go to Ground Hound Racing Inquiry, GREYHOUNDRACINGINQUIRE, or one word, justice.nsw.gov.au. As we continue here on the Generic Live Show, well, we have a Prime Minister. It is Malcolm Turnbull. Bill Shorten admits defeats and concedes from the race for Prime Minister. We'll bring you all the details. Plus, has Hillary Clinton disqualified herself from the presidency now that she has been cleared from an indictment from the FBI? We'll tell you more as we continue. It's 10:01.